B-Pod Studios.
It's like a sumo, 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the Wyclef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. A Tuesday show, broadcast from the Xfinity studio. I'm from Comcast. I thought I would start this show out by telling a story that I saw on Facebook and Twitter about the Eagle fan in Bethlehem, PA, accused of, two fans, two ladies who were a couple. They got into a beef after the Eagles lost the playoff game to the New Orleans Saints. And the one lady was so upset that she put the other lady's Pomeranian in the microwave. Now, ironically, the dog was safe, but ironically, there was a Pomeranian button on the microwave. The new microwaves we were talking about yesterday, you could do a potato. Apparently, there's now a Pomeranian. See, it's gallows humor. That's like a rim shot. See what, yes, I did there? Because people are still hurting, right? People are really hurting still about this this playoff loss and what the future holds for the Eagles. And I thought that's where the tack that we would take today, the future of the Eagles. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know what to expect next year. Now, this plays into also what Carson Wentz has to do next year to satisfy the fan base. Yesterday, I tried to establish the fact that the Nick Foles era is over. All right? Now, a lot of people, they're still holding on to it. Like grim death, they're grabbing on to it. No, we can't let Nicky go. Is there a possible way we can keep him? We'll dispel that completely in this show. But that puts pressure on Carson Wentz. And I guess the question is, when you look at next year, what does Carson Wentz have to do to satisfy the fan base? Does he have to get that team in the playoffs? Is the pressure for Wentz now to return, get the team in the playoffs, when he's playing with a deck that's not exactly full? So here's the question I will ask everybody at the start. Are all these players that we talked about who are now kind of free agents, or you're going to move on from them? And I counted, I think, 8 players who are in that category. 8 players who would normally be starters, not returning. All right, so let's look at them one by one. Brandon Graham, Jordan Hicks, Ronald Darby, Jay Ajayi, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, Chris Long, Golden Tate. Is that 8? It might be 9, but it's 8. Now, you have to replace those players, okay? Now, I know you've got free agency, you've got the draft. I get it. The Eagles are in a bad cap situation right now. So you'd have to calculate that out. All those salaries that would be removed, which would help you cap-wise, would allow you to sign other players. But that's a lot of players that you have to remix. I know teams don't really like to do that. They want to have continuity when they're coming back the following year. When you throw 8 new faces in a starting lineup of 22, sometimes it can be problematic. So, in general, we'll go to Tyrone. Tyrone, next year, because we've been caught up with this year and what they were going to do this year, next year is a tremendously puzzling situation for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm curious to see how you see it in general terms.
In general terms, I'm actually not as pessimistic as you are. Because every team has turnover, mm-hmm, every year, whether they want to, okay, or not. And I think they have enough pieces in important spots to where they could survive it. That doesn't mean there won't be pain. They also have to do a better job in the draft this year than they did in the draft last year. They didn't, to me, they didn't even really value the draft last year. Didn't get enough picks. Goddard mm-hmm. showed something. They didn't get enough. They have to, so they have to bank on drafting well and getting rookies that are ready to play right away, which is hard to do. But it's doable. But I like the fact that Lane Johnson's and Kelsey, assuming he doesn't retire, having a center and a great tackle is a good place to start. Having the quarterback, who I still believe is a stud, mm-hmm. is a great place to start. Having Fletcher Cox there is a great place. And Jenkins. So for that reason, I'm optimistic.
But how many players was that? Four?
Yeah, four stalwart players. But
four? 22 men.
Yeah, but if you look at
is
most
that a
teams.
Four? That's a quorum.
But if you look at most teams, they only have that many guys that are their sure bet guys.
Okay.
Most of the teams, most of the guys have a lot of, you know, interchangeable parts outside of their main right. core guys. I like their core guys a lot. And now it's up to Howie and Joe Douglas to do a good job around it. But I think it's doable, but they're going to have to take a flyer on a couple veterans from that list. You're going to have to. You can't jettison everyone. The question is, will they guess correctly?
Okay, so let's guess correctly now. We touched on it yesterday a little bit. Are we guessing correctly that you give Brandon Graham a new contract when he'll be 32 by the time that season starts next, before even camp he'll be 32?
I do not.
Four mini camps.
I do not.
Brandon Graham gone.
Yes.
Chris Long gone.
Yes.
Need defensive ends.
I do. Barnett has to come back strong. Mm-hmm. I have to bring Bennett back. Mm-hmm. I have to.
You have to bring Bennett back.
Have to. Because, again, you can't get rid of everyone. Bennett has to be back. You have to hope. You have to draft somebody. You have to sign somebody. And you need to get lucky with Josh Sweat. That's what has to happen.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Middle linebacker, Jordan Hicks.
He will not be in demand, I believe. If he is in demand for some reason, you let him walk. But I don't believe he's going to be in demand for that reason.
You re-sign him.
One-year deal. And you still have to draft or sign another linebacker as well. But you have, one-year deal because you can get him cheap. You put incentives in if he plays 14 games and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, he's back.
Ronald Darby.
Gone.
See, I disagree with that. I bring him back. I need Depe at cornerback. He's got, now I don't know what he's going to return after the injury, but I would take a shot on Ronald Darby because I see speed talent in that guy. And I look around and I don't have speed talent in my secondary right now.
Maddox is the quickest that you have on the stop line.
Maddox is starting corner. The jury's still out on that. I know you like him.
I don't know if
he's a starting corner. I think he's better served in a backup role.
And then you have to see after a full year to 2 years if Jones is a player. Mm-hmm. And then Mills, who I actually do believe in Mills. Okay. I know he falls for the double move. I believe Mills is a starting corner in this league. I believe in Mills. So that's why I can take I think you have enough guys. I wouldn't be mad because, again, he's not going to be in demand. So if you bring him back, you're probably bringing him back pretty cheap.
Okay, so you're saying with Mills, Jones, and Maddox, you've got enough talent at cornerback.
And Douglas. Yeah. That's a place where I would let him walk and do something.
I'm not a Douglas believer.
I know you're not.
I'm not a Douglas believer.
I know you're not.
All right. So you think you got enough back there. All right. Let's just move on to the offense quickly. Ajayi.
I know B. West said no. I still consider it. I do. A 1 year type of situation, but I'm not relying on him this year. I'm drafting a running back. What I'm doing is providing, I know he can play third down, to protect my quarterback. I don't know if a rookie back will be able to do that.
You're keeping Ajayi.
On a 1 year deal.
You're getting Sproles out of here.
Sproles is gone, and I'm not sure, Smallwood's gone, and Adams might not be back too.
All right, Peters gone?
Peters is probably back.
Bringing Peters back.
But not to play tackle.
What? To play what? Left guard?
He's playing left or right guard. Because I don't know if Butch is going to play with the Achilles.
Yeah, I
need a guy.
I don't think Jason Peters is gone for that, so he's probably gone. So here's the big question. You know, you got your favorites. You've always had your favorite athletes.
Yep.
And there's one of your favorite athletes that everybody thinks was the next left tackle as soon as they taught him the shape of a football.
Yes.
And that's Jordan Mailata. Do you think that Jordan Mailata can start a left tackle in this league as early as next year?
This is what I think. I think that in the scenario where I asked Peters to play guard, he says no, and respectfully, mm-hmm. I grant him release to see if he wants to retire or move on. I am bringing back Big V. I know he's not great, but I know he can play a little bit. I'm taking a chance on my ladder.
Okay. All right. Well, these are the kind of things we'll talk about today. We'll also talk about the Sixers. They play the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. That means Dario Saric, Rocco are back in the building. If you had a chance to do that deal over again, Jimmy Butler has taken the Sixers where? Maybe a little bit of a notch up. If you had the chance to flip it, start all over with the original crew, would you do it? Now, and especially now that Butler's causing a little problem. And also, the love for Nick Foles. Just got an email from a guy. Has anybody on your show shown some love for Nick and wondered optimistically where in his family go next? Let's give the man some love on his way out. He more than deserves it. I'm curious to know what that means. The guy's name's John. John, if you're out there listening, I want to know what your idea of love is. Will we have a mini parade? Like, what do you want? He signs babies' foreheads at a mall? Like, what love do we want to show him? He's a player. He's a mercenary player. He's going to go somewhere else. He's going to make some money. We need to show him love? Natalie.
Yeah, I'm
what kind of love we showing him?
Well, I'm a little confused because I've done nothing but show him love. I'm the representative who gives Nick Foles love.
Yeah, I'm talking
about
an outward display of love. Not just, Nick, you're great and you were great. Outward display of love.
He must want like a commemoration.
Yes.
Segment.
If you had it, then that commemoration.
Yeah.
Of Nick Foles, what would it be?
I would probably put together all my favorite sound bites of things that he's said. I should probably do that.
And send it to him.
And yeah, and we could play it and everybody could listen to all the great things that he said.
Be showing love for Nick Foles.
Yeah. Maybe I'll work on that for this week.
Okay. You work on that.
Okay. And then and then John will be happy that we've done some sort of love.
Well, I want to know what John wants to do. He's the one who sent me the email. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. We're live at 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Back after this.
Veteran decisions. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Eagles continue to take care of postseason matters. Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman addressed the media today. Howie discussed making decisions on the veteran players.
These are guys who have done a lot for this football team, for this organization, for this city, and also good people and people you like being around on an everyday basis. You know, we're here a lot. We're in the building a lot. And we're with each other a lot, so when you have people like that, it's hard to separate the emotion. And
Sal Palchuk's in with the mic today at 5:15. Flyers beat the Wild last night, 7-4. They play the Bruins tomorrow night at home. Sixers will face familiar faces Dario Saric and Robert Covington tonight when the Timberwolves come to town. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Phillies continue their offseason pursuits. Jason Stark will check in with Mike at 4. Our Big Green giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Mussinelli Show
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, time to talk a little baseball. This man, of course, is the great writer for The Athletic, among other ventures. He is the winner of the J.G. Spink Award for Baseball Journalist, will be presented at the Hall of Fame. He is going to be honored at the Philly Sports Writers Dinner, I understand. He is the world-renowned baseball journalist, Jason Stark. Jason!
Mike, what's happening, man?
I tell you what, I'm getting itchy. All right? I'm getting itchy. I need some answers, and I need them from you.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so here we go.
That's what I'm here for.
Yes, here we go. Now, the Harper Machado thing, the stories are now that it's going to drag on through February. I can't wait that long. It's making me nuts.
Yeah, right. I tweeted about this earlier today, and I don't know how to describe it. There's a lot going on, but none of it is leading toward these guys signing soon. It's like the exact opposite of NBA free agency, which starts and finishes in like 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies are in no hurry because they think they have leverage by chasing both guys. Mm-hmm. Scott Boras, who represents Bryce Harper, he's in no hurry because he's waiting for someone to cave and give him Giancarlo Stanton money. Manny Machado's agent is Dan Lozano. He's in no hurry because he's competing against Boras. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, in Manny's case, he has actual teams to play off of each other. And I don't think any of them are offering close to what he thought Machado would and should get. So you got all these subplots wrapped inside of subplots, and none of them are driving the market. So like, that's the big picture. What people keep asking me is, why are the Phillies moving so slowly? They're not broadcasting their strategy here, but I think they are convinced that there are not multiple teams out there who are going to outspend them, at least on both players. And, because of that, they don't see why they should negotiate against
themselves.
Either themselves, yeah, or some mythical creation by Scott Boras, uh-huh, that Bryce Harper has to wind up with more than Giancarlo Stanton.
Interesting.
$325 million, by the way.
Yeah. So the market is stagnated a little bit, and you're telling me that it's actually a little more viable for Machado at this point because the White Sox have an offer on the board?
Here's the way I would describe this. Like, if I were a betting man and trying to figure out which of these guys winds up in Philadelphia, I would bet on Bryce Harper being here. And here's my logic. With Manny, there's more traffic. There's the White Sox. They're all in, right? They're trying to sign everybody that Manny knows except his hairstylist. they're the Yankees, who are still kind of in. They're his first choice. They basically said, hey, if you want to be here, come back to us. That hasn't happened yet. Maybe it could. There does seem to be a legit mystery team. I really think this team exists, plus the Phillies. But on Bryce Harper, the sense I get, just from talking with teams that have been part of this on any level, their suspicion now is it's really just the Phillies. You can't say the Nationals are totally out, because Ted Lerner, their owner, loves Bryce. And he's done more deals with Boras than any owner on the planet. So you can't completely rule out the idea that Scott could somehow convince him to do this deal too. But the thing to remember is they're already way over the tax threshold with all the stuff they've done, way over. And if they sign Bryce, I was told that would push them into the 90% luxury tax bracket where no one has ever been. And not just for this year, for years and years and years. That just hasn't been how they've operated. So it's really all on the owner. So, where do you tell me? Where else does Bryce go?
So it's just a matter of waiting out Scott Boras. But see, here's the thing. I don't like to play games like this, because what I know is this. If they don't get either one, it's a disaster. Now, are the Phillies comfortable with the fact that they're going to get one? Are you comfortable with the fact that they're going to get one?
I would say they are very optimistic that they're going to wind up with one, and don't seem interested in both, but are very interested in playing one off the other. All right, let's explore your scenario.
Uh-huh.
Let's say it's just them and Bryce Harper and Scott Boras, and there's really nobody else. Manny's already signed with the White Sox or somebody,
uh-huh,
and that's the game they're playing. See, their problem is, Scott has this way of convincing teams, convincing owners, that they should negotiate against this figure that he basically makes up, that Bryce has to be the highest paid player in the history of the universe. And I don't think the Phillies, at least the non-John Middleton portion of the of the front office are interested in going along with that. You know,
That's all well and good, Jason. That doesn't do me any good. You know, I'm like, I couldn't care less that they think they're getting played by this guy.
Let me ask you about the other thing you said, which is if they don't get either guy, it's a disaster.
It is. I know
there's that thinking out there, but if they don't get either guy, the only reason would be because neither of them wants any parts of us. And I don't want to be in Philadelphia. I have always been of the belief that you should never just be giving money to whoever will take it, and you shouldn't be interested in giving money to people who don't want your money. If they reject Philadelphia, why is that on the Phillies?
Well, it's on the Phillies because they can pay to make it happen. And forget about the other stuff. You know, like let me ask you this. If they went to Boris right now and said, okay, 10 years, $350 million, would he turn that down? Now, I don't understand the game, the little nickel and dime game that they're playing. If they really want the player, then that's probably the rate that they're going to get him at, then why play the game?
I agree with the $35 million a year part.
Uh-huh.
I think he will get that. That's the record for largest average annual value of a player is held by Zach Greinke. He only got a 6-year uh-huh. contract, but the average was about 34.2. So I think we can accept the fact it's going to be 35 a year, but you're fine with just giving him, just for the fun of it, an extra 3 years and an extra $100+ million.
Jason,
you might be able to get it done for $225 over 7.
All right, but see,
that's a lot of need, you can fill that extra $100 million.
I can't play this game where I could lose them. I just can't do it. These fans deserve more than that. You can't take them into a season and tease them with the prospects of adding two superstars and then have it fall through. That's his fate worse than death.
Even if they're the high bidder, they're the high bidder, and they don't get either guy, despite dealing with two agents who are all about taking the biggest pile of money. I suppose they argue, hey, we might look up in 2 years, and instead of Harper and Machado, we have Trout and Arenado. Would you take that?
Yeah, but I can't. That's so speculative. I don't know that I'm going to get those guys. You're on the precipice of getting this guy. I don't know what's going to happen down the road.
That's the chance they're taking. But there really doesn't seem to be anyone else that's close to what they can offer. If he wants to be a Dodger just because, and he'll go there for like 4 years, times, I don't know, 150, 160 million, and then he'll go out on the market again at 29, 30. All right, that's what he dreams of. It's not. Yeah. It's because he doesn't want to be here. That's a really troubling thing to me. If the guy has the biggest offer, and his agent's Scott Boras, and he still says no. That would be the reason they don't get that player. You know what I mean? I understand what you're saying.
I get it. It's like
on the other level.
It's like the good, the bad, the ugly. There you go. There are two types of people in this world, my friend. Those with a loaded gun and those who walk. Boras has the loaded gun. I'm not playing na-na-na-na-na with the guy anymore. He's got the goods.
Right, you're supposed to be playing the stupid money game.
Well, yes, and that's the other thing. He's already on the record with stupid money. It's making me crazy.
Your money would be stupider than my money.
What are the flaws of this system? I know you think there are flaws in this free agent system that holds baseball back a little bit. Explain what you're talking about when it comes to that.
Well, yeah. We've reached the stage now where so many analytic-type minds have taken over the sport. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That I think we've taken all the emotion and all of the entertainment value out of the off season. You know, they don't, your modern front office doesn't want to pay players in their 30s, which shuts out a lot of stars and a lot of acquisitions. And you're just looking at an offseason where it feels like almost nothing has happened. I think back on Jim Thomae signing with the Phillies, you know, walking through the construction workers with their hard hats and putting a hard hat on his head, and just a lightning bolt that rippled through our city when that happened. We see almost none of that anywhere now. And I think it's leading in a couple of years to labor Armageddon, because you're going to have to completely overhaul this system. It doesn't work anymore. Players, when they reach free agency, they're not winning the lottery. And so somebody's got to figure out how to revamp a lot of stuff that's worked for a long time. I don't know what that's going to take, but I'm thinking about visiting that planet beyond Pluto that we just flew that satellite by that winter.
Yes.
Yeah. Covering that strike is not going
to
be good.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, you got a couple of big speeches to write. You started started on those yet? Or
I have not started writing any speeches. Right. Yeah, I mean, I've got induction weekend in Cooperstown.
Yep.
That's Saturday afternoon. That'll be me on that stage. Uh-huh. And, you know, the last year, the broadcaster who was honored with the writer who won, Sheldon Knocker, was Bob Costas.
Uh-huh.
And he could, Sheldon could play a few tunes, and then Bob came out there and did the hits. I'm being honored with a broadcast pioneer who's no longer with us. And
I've got
to pretty much carry the speech writing portion of the festivities.
Better knock it dead, Jace.
Yeah, right. You want to write one for me?
Pressure's on. No, I'm out. I can't do it better than you. All right, man. Listen, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Oh, good to talk to you, Mike. Thanks.
All right, there he is, the great Jason Stark. And
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.